You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 15th, 2021, and the Democrats continue to rule and put any grab bag in play that they can. They're trying to get anything and everything done before the midterm elections because they do fear a red wave. Support for Democrats and some of their policies and plans have gone so far left that a lot of the folks that did support, and especially some who had to run in some areas that were kind of dicey to begin with, those legislators, Democrats, they are facing a loss of their seat because AOC and many on the far, far, far left want everybody to move over there with them or else. And here comes Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York. He sees the handwriting on the wall. He wants to get something done really quickly. He's already saying that he's going to force a vote on the bipartisan infrastructure package next Wednesday. The bill's not even officially introduced. It is clear that he's going to use this to push Biden's radical plan before they recess for August. They're going to push and grab what they can. I'm just telling you, be aware of that. Republicans sounding the alarm over one part of the push that would include amnesty for millions of illegal immigrants. It's all hidden inside the budget reconciliation proposal. There's no way if you made it a standalone bill would ever get through. And Republicans are simply calling it out. Rightly so. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, Arkansas. Conservatives need to focus on a critical fight that has not gotten enough attention. The Democrats' effort to stuff amnesty into a reconciliation bill. Congressman Scalise, Republican of Louisiana, said Democrats are trying to sneak it in, hoping you don't notice. And, of course, Democrats are saying, well, we all agree to this $3.5 trillion budget proposal, and it is all part of their liberal priorities. In the meantime, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, slamming Biden and the rest of that side for trying to steer this nation more to the left, despite campaigning as a moderate. And McConnell points out the Hyde Amendment, 1977, prohibits federal tax dollars from being used to fund abortions, except in cases where the woman's life is in danger, other cases, rape, incest, later added. In the past, Biden, of course, was all in favor of that. But as McConnell said on the floor this morning, for decades, nearly his entire career, then-Senator Biden was a reliable supporter of Hyde protections. But a couple of years ago on the presidential campaign trail, our former colleague changed his tune. He let the demands of the increasingly radical left overcome a principle he had held literally for decades. Yes, that's exactly what he did, and he did it because that's how he's going to get the votes. In the meantime, we're told by the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, just stating today, the U.S. Central Bank's decision is going to keep in place the ultra-easy policy measures implemented last year during the pandemic, even as inflation surges to the highest level in 13 years. And you heard on the network news a moment ago, more money going out. You can stay home. We'll just send you money. And, of course, we have illegals still coming across our border. Oh, and note this. An illegal, once deported, now living in Indiana, sentenced to 9 years in prison. Oh, no, it had nothing to do with coming into our country illegally. He put up a machine gun for sale, and he doesn't have a license to sell them anyway. Hey, the mystery bidder who put up $28 million for that 11-minute joyride at the edge of space along with Jeff Bezos not going to go on the trip. Person decided to bow out now because of scheduling conflicts. Does he want his $28 million back, or he just said, you know, I don't really think I want to do that. He said, I'll take a spot on a future mission, provided you guys come back. That's probably written in there, but it's not. Alongside Bezos, by the way, one of his brothers is going, an 82-year-old pilot, one of the Mercury 13 women, great, and an 18-year-old recent high school graduate. I wish them well. Godspeed. And I'd like to get on board. I really would. I know some of you would say, yeah, let's send Larry to the moon forever. Not going.
Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Bubble, bubble, roll the stone, my son.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want this to be a bipartisan issue, okay? And I want to be fair. Like Bob Menendez, senator from New Jersey, very strong on Cuba. A lot of them, some Democrats are too. But here's the bottom line. This administration's response has been lame. Yeah. It's been lame on this whole issue. Now, I wish they had as much passion, or I wish they had half the passion that they have for going after Republican state legislatures and Republican governors and Republican members of Congress. I wish they had half the passion that they have against the Republicans that they do against the tyranny in Cuba. Just half. Not all of it. Just half.
Just half. Just show some legitimate, real concern. The words of Senator Marco Rubio, Republican, Florida. Saying that they just show some concern, just half the passion they have for going after Republican elected officials. He said, I'm not trying to make this a partisan. He said, because there are Democrats on the floor right now that and in Congress that also are supporting the Cubans. But he's right. The response from the Biden administration has been lame. And that's really being nice. Biden administration, of course, put out a statement right away as it began to see the actions happen in Cuba over the weekend. And they were saying the president, the administration, supports freedom of expression and assembly across Cuba. And we strongly condemn any violence or targeting of peaceful protesters who are exercising their universal rights. But they're not really doing anything about it. And now we don't really know what we're getting out of there. What is actually happening, because communications have been shut down. See, Cuba watched exactly how big tech did it with Donald Trump. And what they did was pull the internet. Got to shut it down. No one outside this area would know what's happening. It's like North Korea. No surprise, it's all communist. But the Cubans do not want to go meekly as they have had to do in North Korea. They're trying to stand up and say enough. 60 plus years, the Castros are out. The replacement in for Raul Castro, after he resigned, took over in April. And the word began to spread that this might be the time. This might be the time. So, in fact, that's why over the weekend, thousands were breaking out in protest, peaceful protest, across numerous cities in Cuba, at least 16 to 40 cities. As word got out, yeah, we're going to do it here too. Well, the police and the responding force was not peaceful. And I don't hear any on the left, like AOC and even Cori Bush of Missouri or Bernie Sanders, condemning Cuba for the way they've been treating people, that the pictures that did come out, showing them grabbing them up, seizing them, beating them. A couple of the Catholic priests they grabbed were finally let go, and they tell their stories. And the state-controlled media in this country, not Cuba, they might as well all be under the same umbrella, but the state-controlled media in this country still being pretty timid, afraid of their own shadow. They don't dare speak out because the Biden administration is not taking the lead in it. And Senator Ted Cruz is also, of course, keep in mind that his family also came from Cuba. His father migrated from Cuba back in the 50s with the family, trying to get away from communism. And Senator Ted Cruz says the White House and Biden's response shouldn't be complicated.
Here's what Joe Biden needs to say. The communist dictatorship in Cuba is evil. It is oppressive. They are murderers. They are torturers. And the people want freedom. The American people stand with the Cuban people. And unfortunately, the Biden administration has been lukewarm at best.
At best. I mean, again, he's being kind of polite like Rubio. I'd flat out say you are failing freedom. Failing freedom. I pointed out yesterday, I want to reemphasize, because some listening are too young to know. Let's remind them. There was a Democrat in office a few decades ago, more than a few, and there was concern that Russia was going to put nuclear missiles inside Cuba. We had photographs, spy photographs, showing launchers being put in place. We knew ships were headed from Russia to Cuba. And Democrat President John F. Kennedy put up a blockade. Said they will not be allowed to go through if they're carrying any of that nature. And we thought it was going to be that could be the flashpoint. We're talking about in the 1960s. So a Democrat was standing up for freedom at that point. And also protection of this American soil. Before Trump, President Obama decided, let's just open it up, lift all the sanctions off Cuba again. Trump came in and said, we're going to shut it down again. And, of course, they want to blame now on the left. They want to blame Trump. Oh, that's why things are so bad in Cuba. It's not, but don't let the narrative get in the way. I should say the facts get in the way of their narrative because they want to blame Trump that, yeah, if you're going to reimpose those sanctions. We do not stop humanitarian aid going to a country. We do not do that. And Cuba has relations with other countries that do trade with it, other communist countries. And they just signed a big oil deal with Venezuela. But this Biden administration not only is being kind of lukewarm, timid, and doesn't really know what to do, when they do make a decision, it shows the clear and transparent hypocrisy. Biden and the Harris White House and administration and those on the left who at one time themselves said, agreed because even Bill Clinton, as president, said we need to have a secure border. They now say that's not a big deal. If you're coming across our southern border, no big deal. Come on in. We'll put you on a plane in a U.S. Air Force base and ferry you across the nation, get you deeper into the country faster than when we were using buses at bus depots. But if you're coming from Cuba, you're not going to be welcome. And in fact, Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, talked about it's a dangerous journey for you to do it. Well, we know that we've been told repeatedly, even by members of the left, how dangerous it is just to make that trek from the Northern Triangle to our southern border. And it is. And yes, hundreds have died, if not thousands, trying to get to the U.S. shores from Cuba in the past. So Mayorkas is pointing out it's too dangerous, and even if you get here, we are not going to let you in. Cubans coming to this country have always claimed political asylum because they're escaping a communist country. Political asylum is a good reason to let someone in. But the Biden-Harris administration and those on the left don't want Cubans. Everyone else should be banned and kept out, but not Cubans. You're not welcome. The words of Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas.
Allow me to be clear. If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States. The time is never right to attempt migration by sea. To those who risk their lives doing so, this risk is not worth taking. Again, I repeat, do not risk your life attempting to enter the United States illegally. You will not come to the United States.
Does that not expose the hypocrisy? You cannot even say, well, maybe it... No, you can't make an excuse. You just can't. Senator Cruz makes it very clear.
It seems for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the only immigrants on the face of the earth that they don't want to come to America are Cubans. That's the only instance in which the Biden administration is expressing a resistance to people coming here illegally. In my home state of Texas, we have open borders. We have the Biden DHS releasing people, hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of people that come across our southern border. And as we pointed out in the first hour, as Tucker Carlson also referred to last night, our U.S. Air Force bases are being used to ferry illegals across the nation. Our bases allowing charter planes to come in and pick up illegals, and maybe, I still believe that there may well be U.S. Air Force planes being used. I don't know for fact, but what the hell, why not? You're using a U.S. Air Force base to hide and put these illegals, then let a charter airline come in and move them around. And of course, we really do not know what's happening. We don't know what's happening in Cuba right now because the internet's been shut down. Governor DeSantis, Republican of Florida, is urging Joe Biden. He says, I urge you to assist in providing internet access to the people of Cuba standing up against communist oppression and demanding a voice after decades of suffering under the yoke of a cruel dictatorship. What are we getting from the White House? What response? Did you hear that? Did you hear that response? I'll play it for you again. Do you hear it? Here it comes. You're not hearing anything? Quentin, we're not having trouble with this end, right? No, it's just there is no response from the White House at this point. And big tech, they're not stepping forward to try to help establish communications for the Cubans. What we had to rely on is secondhand information, video that's already been sent out so far. And in fact, Senator Cruz wanted to relay a message that had been sent on to him.
I want to read to you a text that I got from my mother. Sure. My mother and our family is in communications with family friends that are still in Cuba. And here's what one close friend of the family said. Things are much more serious there than what is reported on TV. And this friend of the family described, she says, she has no food. Same for almost everyone. Yesterday, she had a bowl of thin soup, nothing more. She was asking for help for the first time. No way to get money into Cuba. Banks are closed. Five protesters were killed in Santiago. Radio stations are being taken over by protesters. Internet shut down. So no further contact available. Matanzas, which is where my dad was born, is a hot spot for COVID. And it sounds as though desperate times are generating desperate measures. This is an inflection point, and America ought to stand up and speak boldly on the side of freedom and against the communist dictatorship.
But they're not going to. And you want to know how bad it is, in addition to the hypocrisy and the fact that this administration will not say anything to really make it easier for the Cubans and what they're dealing with it at this point? The populist party Vox is demanding the Spanish government. The Spanish government condemned the Cuban regime. Yeah, they did. They say from here, we send a message of encouragement and support to all the Cuban people. We're talking about from Spain. They have us by their side. We denounce the wave of terror and blood. 20 journalists arrested. We demand their immediate release. And the Cubans incarcerated as political prisoners, let them go. In Spain, at least one of the parties is speaking out and trying to defend the Cuban people at this point. And by the way, the World Health Organization is weighing in, as if you care, and you're going to when you hear this story. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
That's some of the sounds of the protesters that started last weekend in the streets across numerous cities in Cuba, shouting freedom. They weren't shouting, we need food, we need water. They weren't shouting, we need COVID protection, vaccines. In fact, the Cuban government had refused any offers of vaccines for COVID, saying we'll do our own. 11 million live on that island, and only about 15% have been vaccinated. So, yes, it's a high-risk area. And a division, a subsidiary of the World Health Organization, Pan-American Health Organization, is trying to discourage anti-communist protests in Cuba because you might spread the Chinese coronavirus. These people are talking about their freedom and in the streets protesting and calling for freedom. And a group of the World Health Organization is saying, no, you should stay in, you might spread the coronavirus. Which, by the way, is contradictory from what the World Health Organization had done previously regarding mass assemblies, especially if they dealt with through the summer of 2020 in the U.S., if there were protests and even riots focusing on racism. Director General Tedros had said, we fully support equality and global movement against racism. Okay. How about you fully support equality and global movement against communism? Which, by the way, Black Lives Matter, they're trying to inject themselves into this thing again, and they did it in a way that blew up on them. They put out on Instagram, later tweeted and retweeted, blaming the instability in Cuba because of the Trump embargo, obviously. You knew that was going to happen. And they credit the Cuban government for historically granting black revolutionaries asylum. Yes, there is a woman who was convicted of killing a cop decades ago who's still there. And when Obama was making his deal with Cuba to open things up, didn't even bring that up, that we would like her extradited back to the U.S. because in the process of escaping, she is charged with killing an officer 50 years ago, something like that. And I should also point out, since I'm on that particular line of thinking right now, the NFL is going to again be extorted during week one games during the 2020 season and the Super Bowl. The NFL was including the Black National Anthem, which is considered Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's a powerful song. It's a great song. But they're going to include it more often again. They're going to do it again. I think that's a very, very bad decision. Folks want sports. They don't want to go there and be politicized every time. I'm going to remind you that coming up in the next segment, J. Michael Waller, he's a senior analyst for the Center for Security Policy. And watching these people in the street, you know, shouting, and they're not trying to set fire, they're not looting, they're not attacking directly, although they are being attacked by uniformed and ununiformed police, so forth, the communist government. He's suggesting they can still overthrow the government without outside help. You'll want to hear this. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. I wanna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before we start talking with J. Michael Waller, senior analyst for the Center for Security Policy, we're in the process still establishing the connections. There was some confusion over the phone line earlier, so we're working that through. He wrote a piece that obviously should catch your attention, where he says the Cuban people can overwhelm that regime with people power. Now, of course, what exactly does that mean, people power? And we're in the process of getting him on the line now, calling that new number. I sent Quentin another one. I want to get into the details of how he thinks that's going to be done. And he admits he's not trying to present a primer on how to overthrow a communist government. But in the case of Cuba, some of the things he proposes might well work. So the thousands are in the streets protesting, although we're not really getting any new coverage out of there. We're not getting footage. We're not getting information. We're trying our best to get hold of them in Cuba, and internet shut down. Cuba is controlling all the communications on the island. If they don't want anything to be seen by the rest of the world, it won't be seen unless there are those who are there that can record it and eventually get it out. That would be the effort. So joining us now is Michael Waller, senior analyst for strategy at the Center for Security Policy, concentrating on propaganda, political warfare, psychological warfare, subversion. Michael, glad to have you on board, sir.
It's great to be back with you, Larry.
Yeah, I tell you what, I was looking at this article and I was outlining a little bit for the folks while we were setting the call up with you that the Cuban protesters can overwhelm the regime with people power. I want to get into that and go through it some various points with you. But before I do, what is your take on Senator Rubio and Senator Cruz saying the Biden administration is at best lukewarm as far as supporting the Cuban people. And then you got Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas out proclaiming, don't come here from Cuba. You'll be sent back. While our southern border is open, but he's saying it's too dangerous for you to make the trip from Cuba. We know it's a dangerous journey from the Northern Triangle. Your response?
It's really sad to see, the two Cuban-American senators being so weak on this by giving the Biden administration the benefit of the doubt by calling it lukewarm.
I pointed out that they were being gentle in their wording, but go ahead.
And they shouldn't be. They should be in their face because this is the Biden administration is giving the Cuban communist government exactly what it wants. It's doing nothing to undermine the Cuban regime. It's doing nothing to provide moral support to the people in Cuba. And these senators should be out there saying, you guys are on your own. There's no way Biden's going to protect you or assist you, but you can do this for yourselves. You can fight for your own country yourselves. And here's how.
All right. Now, that leads us into your article. But before we go there, we are seeing also support in the U.S., particularly in Florida and the Havana community, in the streets over this week as well, protesting and shouting and urging the Biden administration to do more. One political pundit said the Biden administration has just lost Florida for Democrats for decades to come.
Well, with all respect to the Cuban Americans, I've tried working with them since the 1980s, and they're great folks, but they're really disorganized, and they really want to do things on the cheap, and they're factionalized. So there's no united leadership there. Now they're in their second or third generation of leadership there, and these guys don't the new
it's more
don't
diluted
have a fighting spirit.
Yeah, they're more diluted.
Yeah, they don't have a fighting spirit like the other ones did. They're more careerist oriented and so forth.
And the same like could be said. Club. And the same could be said for today's American millennials, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that's clear. Because if we had to fight World War II with some of these pablum eating kids we've got out there right now, we would be under dictatorial control ourselves.
Well, we're headed that way with these types of people, aren't we?
Yeah, I do worry about that. So back to your piece, and again, we're listening to J. Michael Waller with the Center for Security Policy, president of Georgetown Research, which is a private risk and private intel company, I should say, in D.C. You're saying that yelling in the streets won't do any good against an established secret police system like the one in Cuba, and yet you're saying there is a way people power can win. How's that?
That's right, and if you just get out and yell in the streets, unless it's a democracy, no one's going to care. And you can just wear the crowds down just by withholding, water or food or just let them wear themselves out. But if you take this massive people power while you have it, imagine the crowd mentality like a really great rock concert or a tailgate party at a sports event where people start doing stupid stuff in large numbers because they're into it and it's fun and it's cool.
Or
so
drunk.
Like cool. And you have fun. It's not something you wouldn't normally do it, but others are doing it. And that gives people courage. So now you're doing it, though, better than that. You're doing it for a cause, to free your country. You're doing it for your family. And so when people take to the streets like that, rather than yell and scream and chant and overturn cars, they can direct their sheer masses of energy toward pulling out the very eyes and ears and circuitry of the secret police system.
And how would they do that?
Just through the mass of people power. The way the Cuban secret police system works is that it has its eyes and ears on block committees in 130,000 different blocks around neighborhoods around the country. So everybody knows who they are. Everybody knows where they live. Everybody knows their offices. You can just go in there. Don't let any of those people come and go. Cut off their telephone service because the average citizen isn't allowed to have a phone for the most part. And so if the good people don't have phones, then they don't need phone lines, do they? So the regime needs phone lines. So cut the phone lines off. Cut the water and gas off if you can. That will pull the eyes and ears out of the regime, and those are the informants who then inform the national police, who are only lightly armed with pistols, and you can overwhelm those local police stations.
But I don't expect Cuba would sit back and just let only local police. They'd be sending in troops with heavy weapons if they think they need to do it.
Yes, but when you pull out the eyes and ears, then you don't have command and control, and you can't say which neighborhoods need forces and so forth. And this is what you do step by step, the way these local informants authorities work.
Are you encouraging that they you know, you're talking about just shutting them off and isolating them, but the next step would be wipe them out so they're no longer going to be a snitch in the community?
Well, that's up to them. It's their country. It's their right to do what they want. I mean, you can't fight for freedom just by being a bunch of patsies.
Well, I agree with that. But now, the whole premise of what you're suggesting is that they don't need outside help. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, of course, anybody would need outside help, but we don't have a president who's going to give them outside help. And frankly, Trump blew it in Venezuela. He could have had a great mass of people power taking over the Venezuelan regime, which we were arguing at the time with the Center for Security Policy. Use this people power to overwhelm the secret police. We've done it before. I was trained by Cuban Bay of Pigs veterans. I worked with the Contras for 7 years in Nicaragua. I was in the Kremlin the day the Soviet Union collapsed, so we were working a lot with the Russians and the Ukrainians and other ones there. So this is not hard to do. It's just a question of getting people to think these threats that they've always faced, the neighborhood watch committees and the police and the secret police, they were the regime's strength until the people decided, let's take things into our own hands, and until the Communist Party leadership itself, as we saw with Fidel Castro's brother stepping down a few days ago, there are splits in the regime. This is the perfect time to go in for the kill. And that window is only going to last for a very short time while the regime is startled. It's in a panic. And the Cuban government, the Cuban army is a conscript army with 16-year-old kids. They identify with their neighborhoods. They identify with their, you know, ordinary people. And a lot of these kids really want what the people in the streets are out there fighting for.
But you mentioned the Bay of Pigs. I mean, that, in 1961, those were Cuban exiles who were going to try to go back in and covertly financed and directed by the U.S. government. And it was a failure.
That was a failure only because President Kennedy wimped out at the end. He caved in and he panicked and he cut them off and he betrayed them. But these guys learned their lesson over the years, and they did a lot. I worked with the Cuban Americans, Bay of Pigs veterans, who were working with the Contras in Nicaragua, and they were the best of the best.
Well,
this is a whole new generation of people, and so these folks can take it. They can do it on their own if they just view the regime's powers as vulnerability.
Well, let me get direct to the point in the last 30 seconds. Can they do it without bloodshed and violence? Because
no.
We don't know what's happening on the island right now. We're not getting any information out of there. There's
bloodshed and violence already.
I believe it. I do believe it. But it's the protesters who are dying.
They can live as slaves all their lives, or they can fight for freedom. If they want to live as slaves, that's their choice. If they want to fight for freedom, they're going to have to do it on their own, just like we did.
And one other thing, those who are blaming all this trouble right now because sanctions that Trump put in place after Obama opened it, that's an excuse.
That's nonsense. Yeah. That's the Cuban regime talking.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much for helping us understand, follow this. It's J. Michael Waller, Center for Security Policy. The article, I think, is worth you looking in more detail, folks, because we were barely able to scratch the surface on some of it. But I, again, always appreciate you joining us, Mike.
Larry, I'm always happy to talk to you and your listeners, so hope to talk to you again.
We will do it again. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it.
Okay.
Coming up, Hunter laptop type thing and the pictures coming out, are you seeing any reports on that? Is there time to have a full investigation on that? And phones are missing from the Mueller investigation and more? Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This whole art deal, if anybody concocted this, this would be another massive scandal. Nobody just gets out from nowhere, a lobbyist and drug issues and all of this, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I've always wanted to be an artist. Let me just sell it for, oh, let's say $500,000.
Yeah, he's talking about the Hunter Biden scandal to sell artwork, which many of us, because the buyers are going to be allowed to be anonymous. And the question being raised there is that, are you simply laundering money? You're trying to get money into your hands, and this is, you take some crayons or a little watercolor and splash it across, and suddenly it's going to be worth at least $75,000 or more. Congressman Devin Nunes, Republican of California, as you're saying, it's a scheme. And it probably needs to be investigated more, as well as the Biden laptop, which, again, you could do it in the Senate. We have control of the Senate so far, but the House, no. So there's nothing being done. And the laptop video that shows that, yes, Joe Biden, despite insisting that he never, 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 never had anything to do with Hunter Biden's business dealings, is featured in a picture with his son and some of the business associates. And Hunter Biden, in his drug-influenced, lost-consciousness world, said, I don't know if that's my laptop or not. I don't know how I got there. I don't remember. It could be mine. I don't remember. Would do, what about giving your daddy any money from your deal? Oh, I never did that. In other words, he suddenly, clarity comes to mind immediately. Oh, no, I never give money. I know that. Which story do you want to believe? And then we have a report coming out from Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, and Senator Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, in a letter to the Department of DOJ. They said, we need more information about some phones missing that were used by former special counsel Robert Mueller during his investigation into former President Trump's 2016 campaign. In this release, the senator said they were compelled to send the letter because the DOJ failed to review more than 20 phones for federal record preservation. After Grassley had asked about a possible violation of record-keeping laws following a FOIA Act, that's a Freedom of Information Act filing for it. In other words, what they're saying is some of these phones, who had them, how were they used? And I think there was something like almost 100 phones being used during the Mueller investigation, cell phones, and all numerous phones belonging to many that were presented had been wiped. May of this year, the Inspector General with the DOJ said 59 of 96 phones assigned to Mueller's team just can't be located. Just don't know. Guess they took a lesson from Hillary. What do you think? Bleach bid or go out on the pavement and pound the daylights out of them. This is going to be making, obviously, some news, and you want to spend the money on the book, go right ahead. The top U.S. military officer, chairman of the Joint Chief, Mark Milley, apparently so shaken by then-President Trump and his allies that they might attempt a coup, that they were looking for ways to stop Trump. It's all part of a book obtained by CNN, written by Washington Post reporters. How about that connection? They discuss how the Joint Chiefs of Staff and other members discussed a plan to resign one by one rather than carry out any orders from Trump that they consider to be illegal, dangerous, or ill-advised. A kind of Saturday night massacre in reverse. The book is titled, I Alone Can Fix It. Scheduled to be released next Tuesday. Looking at Trump's final year as president, behind-the-scenes look, and obviously sources being quoted, many now willing to go on the record, and I guess you can assume that they're saying the fact. I don't know. But according to General Milley, those who thought that there might be a coup. He said they may try, but they're not going to effing succeed. You can't do this without the military. You can't do it without CIA and FBI. We're the guys with the guns. That one line, I hope that gets a lot of play. I'll tell you why. Because that blows right up in the face of those who claim that January 6th was an insurrection, trying to overthrow the government. You can't overthrow the government just by going in and yelling at members of Congress. You just heard the general say if there's going to be a coup and overthrow of the government, that'd be a real insurrection. He says you can't do it without the military, the CIA, and the FBI. They're not the only ones with the guns, but that's what he was making a point of. So there was no insurrection, despite what you're being told, on a constant lie. Was it wrong? Yes. So I pointed out at the beginning of the program, I want you to keep in mind, this is not just a conservative program. It's not conservative necessarily only, independent only, liberal only, if at all. It is patriotic, 100% patriotic. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.